Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In our collect for this morning, we prayed, God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. To Moses at Mount Sinai, the Lord said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth? And in John chapter 2, at the conclusion at the wedding of Cana, John reports this, the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. How are you? We ask the question, and the answer often comes back, oh, I'm busy, overwhelmed, not enough time to think. And then we feel a bit guilty, so we piously add, it's okay though, in fact it's good. I'm getting a lot done, meeting my deadlines, meeting my classes, answering questions, I'm learning. But really, it's not good, and we know it. The fact is we tend to be too busy with the wrong things. And what happens then is that our words, our thoughts, and responses become centered in us, in our needs, our thoughts, our busyness. And what the scriptures and what our God wants us to know is that we've been called for something different. Moses says it this way in the Old Testament lesson for this morning, as he speaks it to the Lord at the foot of Mount Sinai. If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Is it not in your going with us that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? Moses had it right. What makes the people of God the people of God is the evidence of God's presence in their lives. People need to see Jesus in us if we are indeed his own, as we believe, teach, and confess. If they don't, what's the purpose of our lives in this world? In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And then as Lutherans confess, God gives daily bread to everyone, even without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would realize it, lead us to realize this and receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What makes us unique from every other people on the face of the earth is that we, by God's grace, know the source of our daily bread and so can respond to our God by giving thanks with lives of thankfulness and praise. But that isn't possible if our thankfulness is shoved aside by other concerns, needs, or priorities, or by our busyness. I think that's what Jesus meant at the wedding of Cana when he said to his mother, What does this lack of wine have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Don't busy me with this. John's conclusion to the story tells us what Jesus was all about. This, the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Jesus manifested his glory. Moses asked the Lord to go with him and the people of Israel as they traveled toward the promised land so that the nations might know to whom they belong. And that's what we are called to do as well. That, after all, is what the Epiphany and this Epiphany season is all about, the celebration of God's, Jesus' presence in the lives of his people in this world, people whom he has called and with whom he wishes to be one, as St. Paul indicates in today's epistle. But he can't be one with us if all we are concerned about is ourselves, our jobs, our responsibilities, coursework, committee meetings, budget, and so on. We need to face outward. And we need to use the opera, and we have several opportunities coming to make that possible for us. Our seminary community is beginning this week a month-long emphasis on ethnic and particularly African-American ministry. Actually, February is normally designated in these United States as Black History Month, but since our quarter ends in the middle of February, we have for the past several years begun our observance here at the seminary with Martin Luther King Jr. Day on the third Monday in January. Now, before I go on, let me say something else. I use both the term Black History Month and African American History Month. Those are interchangeable according to my brothers in the community, for those that might ask the question. So I'm not picking one over the other, okay? So on Monday, Reverend John Loom reminded us of Dr. King's message, and in so doing expanded the emphasis from only African American to others who look differently from most of us. And you may have noticed the two displays in the narthex as you came in this morning, prepared by the staff of the Concordia Historical Institute. One of them, on one side, commemorates two heroes of African American Lutheranism, Rosa J. Young, who at the urging of Booker T. Washington asked the Lutheran Synodical Conference to help her establish Christian day schools for blacks in rural America. And the other is for Reverend Samuel Hoard, the first black graduate of this seminary, and by the way, one of the very, very few black graduates of this seminary. Sam, a parish pastor, military chaplain, and author, also served for many years on our Board of Regents and recently entered eternal rest. The display on the other side presents a timeline outline of African-American Black Lutheranism. Tomorrow in this chapel, we will rejoice together with 14 graduates of the Ethnic Immigrant Institute of Theology as they receive their certificates of completion and first calls. These men and their families have all sorts of stories to tell, which are also stories of busyness and of service, and they will readily confess that it is only because God goes with them that they are distinct from others who do not know Jesus. This coming Sunday at 3:00 in this chapel will host the fourth annual service celebrating the Black Lutheran experience here on our campus, as we celebrate with members of the St. Louis African American Lutheran community the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Monday and Tuesday of next week, the first annual, if you can call number one annual, but the first annual multi-ethnic symposium titled Expressions of Hope will take place on our campus. This event, planned in partnership with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission Affiliates, is designed to present various expressions of the theological, sociological, and economic hope of the various ethnic communities which are a part of our church. And then Wednesday and Thursday of next week, our campus will be privileged to host a meeting of the Black Pastors Caucus of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And oh, by the way, the students from the Hispanic Institute, Center for Hispanic Studies, will also be on campus next week, and the list goes on and on. I urge you to participate in as many of these opportunities as possible, but more importantly, I want to urge you to listen to these people. Listen to the participants. Talk with them. These are people who are excited about their faith and excited about this church body of ours, this German church body of ours. And it isn't because of our German heritage. It is rather because of the faith which the Holy Spirit has called us to confess together. And sometimes that really is all that we have in common. Our faith and the God who has come to live with us and to make us his own. It's certainly not our heritage or the loving ways in which we treat one another. And it isn't because we all look alike, sing alike, or pray alike. It is rather because of Jesus made manifest. Jesus shown to be our Savior and the Savior of the whole world. It is because his Spirit has called us, sometime individually, but always together, to be his own and live under him in his kingdom. It's because, as he has promised, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. As Yahweh made that promise to Moses and through him to the children of Israel, he just ordered them to leave Sinai. They didn't want to leave. They were afraid to leave. This had been their first major stop since leaving Egypt. They'd begun to put down roots in this place. It was here that Moses had received the law, instructions for building the tabernacle. Indeed, the tabernacle had been built here. The assurance of communication with the Lord in the tent of meeting. And so they built the tabernacle, constructed the tent of meeting, married, had children, buried loved ones, lived their daily lives, and they were ready to stay. But now the Lord calls on them to leave, and they are afraid. And so the exchange of our Old Testament lesson for this morning, which culminates with the Lord's promise to go with them. I'd like to believe that they learned a lesson here, a lesson which we can learn as well. And the lesson is this: it isn't who we are or what we are about or what we want that matters. It is rather about God and what His Spirit is about. I know you by name, He says. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Israel heard this, believed it, and was saved, at least until they forgot. But now we have the promise. Not only that, we have seen the Lord, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, has manifested His glory for us, not only in the changing of water into wine, but also in the waters of our baptism. He manifests Himself to us in His body and blood, given and shed for you and for me, in with and under the bread and wine of the Holy Communion, which we will shortly consume. How are you? We ask. And my friend Jerome Terry, a Delto pastor serving in New Orleans, rebuilding parishes, responds, blessed and highly favored, no matter what's going on in his life. Let's remember that. We are blessed and highly favored. And pray that God enables us to remember that, because as busy as we are, the truth is that the presence of the Lord goes with us to bring us up from here, to lead us forward, and to enable us to make His name glorious. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord until life everlasting. Amen.